You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Club, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.
Instruction that will be lost on me forever. Not that even if I understood and this movie was actually giving good instructions about how to do that, it wouldn't make any difference because I will never be a Latin lover by definition. Now, Frank, on the other hand, has a shot. You still have some game here.
Well, I got dumped in February, so, you know.
Yeah, now you got...
This movie really is for me to be watching.
It's time... It's time to use the skills that you've gotten.
But no, when I was watching, I was like, God, I hope I never end up playing like that guy. Please don't let me end up that pathetic.
I don't think you will by definition. Like, you know, you're not like Eugenio Derbez's character in this film, Maximo, a guy who spent his whole life determined to never work by sleeping with very old ladies to suck off their fortunes. It sounds like a good gig. George, would you do this if you had the shot? Would you be the Latin lover if it was it was going to be a slam dunk success?
The only Latin lover I could possibly be is someone who loves Latin.
True. The language or Latinas. Like, I mean,
yes.
I mean, I'm a Latin lover in the sense that every time I see Salma Hayek on screen, my heart beats a little faster for a second. Whoo boy.
Man, she's still Salma Hayek.
Yeah, she is a force of nature. I always think of that scene when we first met her in Desperado, when she walks out into the street and cars just crash into each other and they're all yelling at her and she just smiles and keeps walking. She's still that hot. See, we love Latins.
Latinas.
So yeah, as I said, the story of this movie is basically this guy, Maximo. He decided when he was young, he was going to do this. He was going that charting that course. I'm going to be the rich hand. I'm going to be the handsome guy who never has to work because you suck up to really old ladies and get them to marry you so you can live off their fortune. Hopefully they die and leave you anything, everything. Problem is, the woman that he hooked up with, it flashes 25 years later. She is still mysteriously alive and
still active.
But I mean, he's fine with it. He's like, okay, I don't have to do anything except occasionally have sex with this woman, which is probably difficult. But, you know, he lives a life of obnoxious luxury, until one day she leaves him for a considerably younger guy, which is a problem considering he, you know, has kind of let himself go a bit. He's got a pot belly. His hair is starting to gray a bit.
Yeah.
And he thinks, that's fine. I'll get right back out there and I'm going to be a force to be reckoned with. I'm going to find another even older, even richer lady. And he just is so unaware of who he is at this point that although it's very clear to the audience, that shit ain't going to fly.
Yeah. He's so narcissistic. He never really finished growing up. And so he's still trapped in that sort of 20 something.
So despite getting a bit of help from his best friend played by Rob Lowe, who has a similar relationship, with, Linda Lavin.
Lavin.
I think it's Lavin, who of course is,
in the 70s.
What is the show she was on forever?
Alice.
Yeah. In fact, I think isn't his phone ring the theme from that show?
No,
that
that's Golden Girls. That's
was that Golden Girls? Girls? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so fair enough. Thank you for being a friend. Anytime he calls.
Okay. Yeah. but he can only do so much because basically he's a slave to this woman.
Yeah.
Quite literally at points. And he's forced to, Eugenio's character Maximo is forced to go find out his little sister Salma Hayek, who he hasn't seen in over a decade. Because she has a son that he's never seen before. and beg her to let him stay with her. Well, along the course of the way, this guy who's just selfish by definition, doesn't know how to be any other way, but puts up a good front, realizes that by teaching the little boy who's in love with a girl at school how to be a Latin lover, as it were, to be cool in the sense of what he thinks is cool, he'll be able to sneak through the back door to get access to an old rich lady who is her grandmother.
Her grandmother, yeah.
Yeah, played by Raquel Welch.
Raquel Welch.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, that is Raquel
Welch.
That's
Raquel Welch, because she's still alive somewhere.
And, you know, I mean, all right, so here's the thing. This is a very generic comedy in terms of the structure. We've seen this type of thing a lot and all of its pieces.
Everything is generic.
Yeah.
Structure, writing, acting.
Yeah. There's nothing really that stands out here at all. There's nothing that's not utterly predictable or that you haven't seen a billion times before. Maybe if you've just never seen a average American comedy that's come out in the last 30 years, you'd be like, whoa, I'm gobsmacked by this.
Yeah.
That seems unlikely.
You pretty much knew it.
But
rather was like, okay, yeah.
But I felt it was heightened to some extent by the fact, I think Eugenio Derbez is a hell of a performer. I think he's very charismatic, and he never lets his character overwhelm being feeling like he could be a real person, like a lot of other actors who do these kind of movies more often than not do. Right. He's not Adam Sandlering this thing.
No, he's got a good handle on his energy, and he knows how to rein it in when he needs to, and... Yeah, he doesn't overwhelm and he doesn't overstay his welcome scene to scene.
And for a pretty, despicable character starting out, he does kind of sell the redemption aspect that most comedies have. He does it well. And for a formulaic comedy, you know, it's all about plugging somebody you like into the form. And if you like that person well enough, he's good enough to carry the movie. And I think that if you're at all predisposed to like this actor, then you will enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
Whether or not you should go pay to see it or whether or not you should just, you know, check it out on cable someday, you know.
Right.
He's also smart enough, I think, to because this guy is very vain, very narcissistic, very, very, you know, self-adoring. But, you know, he makes him so goofy and just, you know, so such a buffoon that, you know, you can't help but forget that, you know, accept that.
At some level, it's like he has literally been sheltered his whole life. Sure, sheltered in, the lap of utter luxury. Yeah. But nonetheless, no idea how the real world works or how people are supposed to relate to each other.
Yeah.
And I think they do a better job here than they do in most comedies that are about an utterly reprehensible human being who slowly has to regain their humanity, of which there's like 1,000. Right. I think he does a better job than most of those actors playing those roles in those comedies of playing that role. He is, even though it takes a while before the movie actually finally gets to the turn where he's like, you believe that he actually wants to be a better person. He's just fun to watch. His mistakes are, there's one thing they do with Black Shoe Polish that is a genuinely funny bit
in
the film. I was like, that would have worked no matter what. But even though, as I'm watching these jokes, not completely fall flat on their face, but just be very familiar, very repetitive. Yeah. I'm still like, he brings a certain charm to it that maybe we haven't seen before.
Maybe. And I don't think I think it would have been a much more dire experience had this been an Adam Sandler movie. I've totally seen this being an Adam Sandler movie.
For the script, it's so easily you could have plugged Sandler into this, and it would have been, it would have been really offensive for one thing.
They're kind of counting on that.
The only joke I really, the only two jokes I really, really liked were probably the most offensive ones in the entire film, though. It was the opening one where a character just, you know, explodes in a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know if that's offensive.
I don't know. Well, it's kind of dark, at least.
It was a little dark.
If it stays in this vein, we're in for a good time, but it didn't, so sadly. And when a pair of prosthetic arms get pulled out, which I thought was, you know, great. But for the most part, they do play it safe. It's such a shame though, because he's got so much energy.
Well, there's a few other places where they don't play it safe, such as the wheelchair guy.
Yeah,
the wheelchair guy. Yeah,
yeah.
The reoccurring wheelchair guy.
I think if they went too far in that direction, then it would have been difficult to make the family stuff work. And for me, especially in the beginning, where you have the siblings as younger characters. And then versus as older, like, you actually feel a bond between them. And if the family stuff didn't really work, then this whole movie would fall apart.
I think that's a lot because of Salma Hayek. I think she keeps it so grounded in some kind of, as much of a reality as you can ground this movie in.
Yeah, the dialogue between the brother and sister at the very beginning is really charming. And I thought that maybe if they could keep it that charming, like, the whole movie would be great. And instead, that aspect of it is really good. And I think it makes the rest of the movie work because, yes, Salma Hayek and Eugenio do work really well. So,
Have I been saying his name wrong this entire time?
How did you say it?
I said Eugenio? Eugenio.
Yeah.
Boy, I am the whitest person on the planet.
I'm Hispanic. I'm slightly more white.
Donald Trump's more white than me, but still.
More orange than you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's more of a Cheeto. I did also thought the supporting cast was okay. Underused when they should have had
incredibly
more of them. Rob Lowe is playing a perfect Rob Lowe type character.
Yeah, Rob Lowe's great, but the two Robs are horrible.
Yeah. No, they're great. I thought they were funny.
Every scene they were in was so
Rob
Riggle
and Rob Hubel playing two guys who run a company who he essentially takes for some money, and they're trying to be tough and like threaten him, and they're terrible at it.
I like because they were just doing them, which is great, as opposed to someone like Kristen Bell, who's just styled with such a horrendous character and nothing funny about her whatsoever.
Except that every time you see her, you get to see a lot of cats, and I'm all for that.
See her in a lot of like bandaged up.
I disliked her inside the yogurt shop. I loved her in her apartment. I really enjoyed her towards the end because she was a lot more like vulnerable and that sort of thing in her apartment. And once she made it clear that, no, I'm not attracted to you, you know, that she became a better character to me. And I really enjoyed her scenes. But yeah, the two Robs running the shop.
She's the one who
I like, the two
I like them normally. I don't like them here.
I wasn't crazy about them here either. Yeah. Although I will say Riggle is playing it so much more down than he usually does.
Oh, yeah.
Riggle's another one that's a comedic actor that always is playing stuff just a little bit too much over the top compared to everybody else. Mm. And here, like, it's clear he's been pulled in. And it's interesting because this is directed by Ken Marino.
Yeah, how do you think he's fared as a director?
I mean, he's a comic actor who's worked with all these guys multiple times on things. Strangely, if he had a cameo in here, I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
Yeah, you would think he would have appeared in this.
Yeah, he's directed a lot of television. He hasn't had a feature. In fact, this whole thing feels like it's a script that he was attached to probably to star like 15 years ago.
Sure.
This feels like something that's been in a drawer. And then it's just like, well, hey, here's a chance to get
rewritten.
It made. And they rewrote it, and for the better probably.
Well, and I suspect that Eugenio is a huge star in Mexico. Like, has been doing movies and TV shows for a while now. Slowly trying to edge his way into the American film industry.
Yeah, you've seen him make a lot of cameos in American movies, but not quite have a starring role. But you know, Instructions Not Included was such a hit here.
Yeah.
That he finally has a potential crossover opportunity.
So Lionsgate is teamed up with another Mexican studio, Pantaleon.
Pantaleon.
Yeah.
Pantaleon.
Pantaleon
Lion
Films.
And the production company, Tripas.
Which is a joke on tripas.
Yes, which is like...
I don't know what
it's a pun.
It's intestines.
Yeah, tripas are intestines.
Dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm the only...
That's a weird...
No, I got it. But I've had tripas in breakfast tacos before, which are awful.
I hate tripas. They're so rubbery.
Yeah. Exactly. It was like, why do people like this?
You can tell we live in Texas, because anywhere else people are like, you eat what in tacos?
Yeah, exactly.
That is not
lengua, which is tongue. Tripas, which is intestines.
The rest of the world, breakfast tacos are an alien thing.
That still freaks me out. Can you believe?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we should do some sort of charity for the rest of the world.
We
just to bring them breakfast tacos.
Anytime I visit somebody somewhere else, I make them breakfast tacos. Like, I'm white, so these aren't official, but they're breakfast tacos.
That's such
tacos.
A great gesture. That's really,
just in general.
Awesome. It's really easy to make.
So. Anytime anyone I know comes down here or doesn't live here, the first thing they want is tacos of some kind. What do you want to eat? Tacos? Yeah. But yet, no tacos. We could go see tacos. And then what do they want, like, when they get hungry again? Tacos.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, we have barbecue, too. Ooh, I forgot about that. And then it's just barbecue.
You can also have barbecue tacos.
That's true, and they're pretty fucking good. Yeah. How in the hell did we get so far off topic?
Anyway, I'm hungry now. So
I know, me too.
And I went pescatarian for Lent, so I can't even have barbecue.
I mean, I think this is actually for Ken Marino, and partially because, like I said, he never allows things to get so heightened that they become absolutely unbelievably absurd. But they're kind of just at the level they should be. If there had been a funnier script, this would have been a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
As it is, I think it's just kind of an average movie.
It's
very run-of-the-mill, like I said, heightened at best by the fact that, once again, Marino shows some promise as a director, and Eugenio Derbez is looking like he might be moving into a more prominent role for, you know, your average English-speaking audiences here.
I think with the right script, he's clearly a star. Like, he can be. And I think with the right material, but if you already know you like him, if you're already on board with him, you will enjoy this movie, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go into your final thoughts, George.
My final thoughts, you know, yeah, if, like I said, if you're predisposed to like him, definitely, you will enjoy this movie. It'll probably raise it from pretty good to good.
Yeah.
I would say that I would rate this maybe 6 out of 10 ill-advised cameos.
How about you, Frank?
Well, you know, it's funny. For me, it's the performers are going to be, are the ones that are going to sell this more, almost as much as the jokes are. And it's very split down the middle for me in that department alone, because for every, I mean, for, you know, half the cast had so much great stuff to do. Half of them didn't. You know, I think this is Kristen Bell's worst moment on screen.
Oh, I don't know, man. There's some hard competition for that.
Well, I haven't seen all
you've seen the movie she was in that Dax Shepard directed and co-starred with her in?
Chips? That's her husband.
No. Well, I haven't seen Chips. She did one beforehand.
Oh, that hit.
Well, I don't think he
movie?
Directed Chips.
I thought
he did.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't see it then. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I had to do an interview with both of them after that earlier movie they did, and I had to try to be nice to the movie, which was not worth being nice to at all.
Bradley Cooper and Dreadlocks?
I think so. I can't remember. It's been a while since I saw it, and it's super forgettable. Yeah. That being said, they were both pretty charming, even though I kept going, why are you with this frat boy? Anyway, sorry. You know, continue.
She's a big Idiocracy fan.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't like her. I thought, you know, Rob Riggle was real. I mean, not Rob Riggle. Where is that? Cordry.
Yeah.
Rob Cordry was really, like, the most underused I've ever seen him. But I love the Robs. I love the two of them. I love, you know, their scenes and their energy. I thought it sold. And I also love that people like, you know, Rob Lowe and Raquel Welch were making fun of their own sort of images by, you know, he's the aging pretty boy and, you know, she's just not taking herself seriously at all. It worked on some levels for me based on the performances alone. The two leads are really great and they do have some great chemistry together. And this movie does give off some genuine pathos. So it's enjoyable enough and it's not as disaster ridden as it could have been. It could have been a little bit edgier with the comedy, but you know, that just comes down to personal taste. So I think overall, I'd probably give it about 6.5 prosthetic limbs out of 10.
Man, we sure are damning it with faint praise. and honestly, it earns that to some degree. I mean, it best deserves faint praise. It more shows promise for stuff to come with some of the people involved here of like, wow, once they get like a studio, American studio gets a little more confidence in this lead, I could see him being great in something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that being said, here I am. English-speaking white boy, never watched any of his huge Mexican film hits. So maybe some of those are – I'm sure some of those are great. Mm-hmm. I've just never seen them.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something, George?
Well, and they do have his next project lined up. He's doing a remake of Overboard with Anna Faris, but the roles are reversed. And that does sound promising.
That does sound interesting.
If the script is good, but obviously – so far, his formula is working with kids, and I do think the kid in this movie is great.
Yeah, he has a strong relationship with him. He has a strong relationship with Salma Hayek. The heart of the movie is those guys. It's when it's at its best, you know, especially when the two, Salma Hayek and Eugenio, his characters, are getting along. You really want them to get along.
Yeah.
You want him to be reformed for real. And so you're like, this is great. Get back into your family. And those, you know, it lets the audience actually connect with these characters, and that saves from a lot of otherwise mediocre comedy. I give this a 5 out of 10 barbecue tacos, which I realize we're not in this film, but now that you said it, I just can't stop.
Let's say they ate them at the craft service table.
Sure, we don't know. They could have.
At the Q&A, Salma Hayek, they revealed that Salma Hayek actually paid to bring Mexican food onto the set because there wasn't enough Mexican influence to her.
Good for her. Wait, was she there?
No, she wasn't.
Okay, I was because I missed the Q&A. I was about to go, fuck! I missed Salma Hayek.
She wasn't, but Eugenio was.
Okay, fair enough.